Good Emperor Hadrian. This is the third of the good emperors. His name was Publius Aelius Hadrianus, and his imperial name would have all these other things, but his regular imperial name was Imperator Caesar Trajanus Hadrianus Augustus. Now, he is emperor from 117 to 138, so he's emperor for 21 years. Of course, this is the one that is very remembered because we have vestiges of him that survive, the famous Hadrian's Wall, which in the United Kingdom is one of the most spectacular surviving constructions of the Roman era. There's not very much of it left on the Danube, but in England it certainly is. Now, he was born in 76 AD in Rome. His family was from the area of the Italian peninsula called Italica. Father was Publius Aelius Hadrianus, Afer, A-F-E-R. Now, that is a title which means Africa. So he probably had some official title or did something in the province of Mauritania. His mother was Domitia Paulina of Gades. Grandfather had been a senator and actually married Emperor Trajan's aunt. So he's got some connections to Emperor Trajan. After the death of Hadrian's father, he was then cared for by two guardians, Publius Antonius and the future Emperor Trajan, who actually made him part of his family. Trajan never had any children, so to some extent this is a good indication that Hadrian has an opportunity to advance. However, there are stories about, as a youth, Hadrian spent lots of money and loved to go hunting. He was supposed to go in the legions at age 15, but kind of dilly-dallied around with hunting, got himself recalled back to Trajan's house so they could keep an eye on him. Eventually, they appointed him a judge. He became a judge of an inheritance court at the age of 15, 16. It's pretty early, so we got to get him started here. He obviously does legion service. You just can't get away with that. So he served with the legions on the Danube River. In 97 AD, Hadrian was actually picked to give the army's congratulations speech to Trajan when he was adopted and named heir to Emperor Nerva, which is a good sign. Now, under Emperor Trajan, Hadrian did a lot of things. He's commander of he's a commander in the legions during the Second Dacian War, 105-106 AD. He was then made praetor in 106 AD. He was governor of Lower Pannonia in 107 AD. He's consul in 108 AD, and then he's governor of Syria in 114 AD. And Syria is a very important province because the Romans are still trying to expand their empire, and they're trying to do it moving to the east. And Syria is a major province right there on the border with the various Parthian, Seleucid-style kingdoms. But we have a succession mess. No one is really sure if the Emperor Trajan adopted Hadrian and made him his heir. Now, the historian Dio believed that what happened was Hadrian's a good friend of the Empress Plotina, and Empress Plotina made him emperor. There certainly was a delay and a concealing of Trajan's death in Turkey for a couple of days. Trajan died at Salinas on August the 8th, 117 A.D. August the 9th in Antioch, an announcement that Hadrian had been adopted by Trajan was made. Must have been a contact with the Ouija board there. And on August the 11th, Trajan's death was then reported. And then letters to the Roman Senate on Hadrian's adoption were not written in Hadrian's writing. They were written in the Empress's writing. So she said that the reason was the emperor was just too weak to write. But at any rate, the important thing is the army liked him. So the army recognized him, and the Senate will approve. They weren't in a real obnoxious mood at the time. So once the army says you're okay, you're okay. And of course, Hadrian had, as a result of being governor of Syria, he was there in the area. So he took control of Trajan's body, which was cremated, and the ashes were then sent back to Rome for burial under Trajan's column. That's his conquest column. Now, things don't get off to a real good start for Hadrian because there's what's called the affairs of the four consulars. Hadrian was warned of a possible plot against him by his other guardian, Antonius. There were four senators, and all of them had been ex-consuls. Now, one of them is Gaius Crassus. Now, he's killed in 117 A.D., and the others were killed in 118 A.D. But Hadrian claimed he didn't order their deaths, and the Senate didn't believe him. The Senate was upset in particular because Hadrian, upon taking office and getting the approval of the Senate, had promised them that he would never execute a senator. And then this showed that they were executed. Well, they were murdered, okay? So, you can't really, can you really expect to be a political opponent of the emperor and get away with it? At any rate, one of the things that Hadrian does that really surprised me as I was doing the research is this guy is a travelaholic. He literally saw every square inch of the empire. He made four gigantic trips. The first one, 121 to 125 A.D., is its most extensive. I mean, it went from east to west and north to south. In 128, he did a Rome-Carthage-Sicily tour. And then from 128 to 132, he did a Rome-Athens-Ephesus-Antioch-Thebes tour. Now, he loved the Greeks. He has a nickname. His nickname is the Greekling because he really liked the Greeks. And he did a lot of renovations in Athens and did some other stuff. And then his last trip is 132 to 133-34, and this is the Jewish revolt. He's in Athens, so he goes from Athens to Jerusalem and then back again. So, now as far as accomplishments, one of the things that he is considered to have done is he abandons attempts to expand the eastern area because what he did... Emperor Augustus believed this. Augustus believed that Rome had natural boundaries. The Danube River, the Euphrates River, and other places. And what Hadrian does is he puts that in action. He believed that the Euphrates was the eastern boundary. And to try and take more and hold more was just not worth the effort and expense. There's occasions where he had gone into Mesopotamia, into the regions, and then withdrew back across the river. So, along those lines, since he believed that he had found the real boundaries, he then fortified them. So, he goes through the strengthening and the construction of Danube wall fortifications, and of course, the famous Hadrian's Britain walls in England. He also expands what is called the Alimenta. Now, that's assistance to children of the poor, which had been started by Trajan, and so he continues it and increases it. So we have a little help for the poor. He increased military discipline, but he was constantly with the troops, even though he fought only one military campaign. Traveling around as he did, he saw a lot of the army. And it's also at this time that Roman law, believe it or not, begins a kind of a golden age. He created four circuit judges to cover law in Italy. And then he had the judge Julianus collect revisions of edicts. That every time you have a new praetor, they put out an edict, a set of laws and changes. And then what he did is he codified these. He revised the edicts and made sure that they had kept track of all the different changes in the laws. He also set up formal organization for his legal advisors. In the past, the emperors had, since the time of Augustus, had actually been using them, but Hadrian makes them officially part of the imperial council. And then he does a little building. Now, of course, the most famous construction other than his forts is the Pantheon, the gigantic round-domed building to the gods in the city of Rome, which is still spectacular. He built his little villa, the 160-acre Tivoli Villa. He rebuilt the temple of Olympian Zeus in Athens, and he rebuilt the temple of Venus in Rome. He also began to kind of reconstruct Jerusalem to some extent. which had been destroyed by previous emperors. He's trying to fix it up. That's going to eventually lead to another Jewish revolt. Now, as I said, the city of Jerusalem had been partially reconstructed as a Roman colony. And where the old temple area had been, a new construction was put there called the Alia Capitolina, which the Jewish separatists really hated. And they began an open revolt in Judea in 132 A.D. And the revolt is led by Simon Bar Kokhba. And the rebels eventually took over the city of Jerusalem and made their own coins. And it would take 3 years to put down. And then Hadrian was present when the city fell. And then in 135, the rest of the militants were captured and executed. In addition, to punish the Hebrews, he put a total prohibition of circumcision on the area. So it was a little burp of a Jewish revolt here. Now, as far as Hadrian's personality, yeah, he's kind of a strange guy. He's not really very popular as a person. The soldiers liked him, and to some extent, he just doesn't stay put, you know, maybe long enough, but of course a lot of people saw him. He was very interested in magic and astrology. He loved sightseeing, as I've mentioned before. Wow, can you imagine? Here's a Roman emperor who, you know, went to Britannia. He went to the Danube. He'd been to Athens. He'd been to Rome. He'd been to New Carthage. He went down the Nile, the Thebes, saw the pyramids. Wow, we would all love to be able to do that. He wrote, did some literary stuff. He didn't like Homer. He hated Homer. He thought that another gentleman, Antimachus, was better. Some say that he was a homosexual. Some say he was bisexual. Him and his wife did not have any children, his wife Sabina. According to Historia Augusta, he was passionate for two things. He was passionate for males, and he was passionate for adultery with married women. That's kind of an interesting little mix there. Now, the emperors periodically did things like that. That'll get you a lot of enemies pretty quickly. He had this, there's this great story about his, perhaps his most famous male lover. Okay, it's a friend, Antoninus, okay? That's Hadrian's favorite. And he went with him. When Hadrian went to Egypt, his little friend went with him. And that's in 130 A.D. Well, unfortunately, his little friend accidentally drowned. Now, there's two versions, okay? Obviously, we have two versions. He accidentally drowned by falling from the boat on the Nile. That can happen. But, of course, those people who have the little kinky side of Hadrian claim that he was secretly sacrificed in some kind of strange rite to Hadrian. At any rate, the kid's dead. But a city was built on the spot where he drowned, Antonopolis. And Hadrian also had a star named for him, and the star was supposed to represent his soul. So obviously Hadrian has a thing for this interesting little fellow. At any rate, in AD 136, at the age of 60, Hadrian begins to decline, probably the result of tuberculosis, quite prevalent at this particular time. And Hadrian at this point realizes he's wearing down, so he decides he needs to select an heir. Well, his first choice, Lucius Cianus Commodus, he had end stages of tuberculosis, so he couldn't go that route. And then he ends up picking Lucius Aelius Caesar, and he adopted him in 136, but the guy dies of tuberculosis in 138. So he ends up settling on Antoninus Pius, who will be the winner. Hadrian was so ill at the end that he actually wanted to commit suicide, but they wouldn't let him. They kept poisons away from him. They kept swords away from him. We want to watch this guy suffer? Come on, give the guy a break. Eventually, he ordered one of his servants, a German barbarian, to kill him. Actually, put a mark on his side where he was supposed to stab him. The guy couldn't kill him either. And finally, he died on July the 10th, 138 A.D. He is buried. He moved around a little. He was originally buried at Puteoli. And then he was moved to the, well, which is the gardens of Domitia, okay? And then finally Hadrian, when his tomb was finished, you know, Castel de San Angelo in Rome, the Pope's refuge later on, when the tomb was finally finished, then him and Sabina were both buried there. So I hope you enjoyed our building traveling Emperor Hadrian. Sources of this are Chronicles of the Roman Empire, Emperors by Scarre, and the Roman Emperors by Grant. So as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, and thank you very much.